you, we magnify you, we worship you, we worship you, oh God. Ah, what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God, and we're excited tonight about what God is doing. We appreciate so very much all the wonderful music and ministry, and there's ministry going on all over the house tonight, and excellent things taking place in the house. We're a blessed people. Can you say amen? If God's been good to you, clap your hands, lift your voice, give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We magnify you, oh God. I love being in the house of God on a Sunday night. It's getting dark so quick, and it just changes the feel about everything. And I was excited to come to the Lord's house tonight. I really agree with David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're turning the corner on Thanksgiving week, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And there, if anybody should be thankful, it ought to be apostolic people, because we have a hope that reaches beyond this world, and we have the strength of God in places where the world just wonders what they're going to do next. But God's been good to us, and we are a blessed people. Praise God. You want to be in prayer for your church family that's traveling for this holiday weekend. And I hope that you all, I trust that you all have a wonderful time of fellowship. And if you... if you're by yourself, then you need to find somebody to spend. The Bible says if a man would have friends, he should show himself friendly. And so do something for someone else and reach out to someone else. And don't sit in a dark corner somewhere and bemoan the fact of your loneliness or your problem, but find a way to celebrate and be thankful. It is an amazing therapeutic, curative thing when you can be thankful. It rescues your soul. It lifts your spirit. We're going to read tonight from 1 Kings chapter 13, and it's an extension of the text area that we were in this morning. And it's about that prophet that came to the king Jeroboam when he was out of line with God. 1 Kings 13 and beginning in verse 15. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water here, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee to thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. And he cried to the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord hath commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after that he had eaten bread and after that he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. If you love his word tonight, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God. We thank you for your word. Your word is seed and hope and strength and blessing in our life. And we lift you and thank you for your word and for the power of it today. And everybody say, praise the Lord. God bless you. Once more, clap your hands, lift your voice. Give God a shout. If you're glad that you're a part of the church of the living God, give God a shout. Give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Ah, mighty, mighty God. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. So this is in the season and surrounding the story of the king Jeroboam, the first king of the divided nation of Israel. And God actually set him up and was going to nurture him and strengthen him and bless him in that place of power. And so Jeroboam came into power by prophecy. The old prophet came to him in a field and rent his garment into 12 pieces and said, take 10 of these pieces because you're going to be king over 10 tribes of Israel. And that is the beginning of the division in the Old Testament of Israel and Judah. It was the product of Solomon's pagan worship and his idolatry, and God was going to set up Jeroboam in the hope that he would create something better in Israel. It is by prophecy that Jeroboam's kingdom was established, and it was by prophecy that his influence and his heritage is erased. This morning we were dealing with the beginning of this story, how that old prophet from Judah came down and cursed the altar there that Jeroboam had built, and his golden gods, his calves that he had built for Israel. And what he was doing was trying to keep them in Samaria because he knew them. He knew they would go back to Jerusalem to worship, and his fear was that he would lose them. But when you have a word of God at your back, and when you are walking in the midst of prophecy, you don't have to worry about all the outliers and all the possible problems and everything, because God has his hand upon you. But Jeroboam was weak in that area, and he created false gods, and he had the people involved in false worship, and he drafted his own priest, and it was terrible. So the prophet that we read about this morning came and cursed that false religion and cursed those calves, and the altar rent in the middle, and when Jeroboam sought to take him into custody, Jeroboam's hand was withered, and there was a sign from God there. So that prophet that prophesied, Jeroboam tried to get him to come home with him so he could co-opt him, or so that he could bring him into his circle of influence. But the old man said, no, I was instructed. When I was instructed to come here, I was told not to eat or drink in this place until I had gotten home, and so I can't come with you. And that was a display of strength on the part of that prophet, and he's following the word that came to him, and he's following the mission that was placed upon him, and he's doing well. But now, on the way out, on the way back, after a great victory, and I just have to tell you, you are in peril sometimes after you achieve something that you've worked really hard for. Sometimes you can become disoriented after you've come to a place of achievement, or you've got the pressure off of you, or you've completed the task, or you've finished the mission. And sometimes idle time is a dangerous place for you. And so that's maybe what's happening with this prophet. He prophesied over the altar of Jeroboam, and on the way home, some stir had happened, and people heard about what had happened, and the word came to the house of another old prophet there in the area of Bethel. And he told his sons, he said, saddle up my donkey here. I'm going to go down and find this prophet. And he did. And they knew the way that the old prophet had gone. And so he follows him. And when he meets him, he says, come and eat with me and come to my house. And he said, no, I'm not able. I've already turned down a king. I can't come, because the word of the Lord to me was, don't eat or drink in this place. And so he was still at least articulating the vision and the prophecy to him. But the old prophet from Bethel, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thy house, that he might eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And this is very convoluted and difficult to understand, and one of those areas in the scripture where it seems like everything's working at odds with one another. And it came to pass, he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. And he cried to the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but you came back and you've eaten bread and you've drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten there and had water there, he got up, he got back on his ass, he went down the road, and a lion was waiting for him there, and the lion tore him. And then the lion did something uncharacteristic. It didn't eat the body, it didn't kill the ass, but the ass and the lion stood there in the road over the body of that old prophet. And if you knew anything about the nature of life and the nature of man and the nature of the kingdom of God, you would know something's happening here that's not ordinary or normal, but rather this is the hand of God. And the news of that came back to the house of the prophet from Bethel, and he got back on his donkey. He made his way down. He picked up that prophet from Judah's body and brought him back to his own sepulcher. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and bury him, and he lay his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, when I'm dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried, and lay my bones beside his bones, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. We're not privy about all the information here. We don't know exactly what God was doing with this prophet and why that trap was laid for him. But I want to tell you that when you have a task from God, and when you have a word from God, and when you have a mission from God, don't let anything get in your way. You need to finish. You can't just make your way through the high points of that mission, but you have to be ready to clean up, and you have to be ready to make your way to the completion of that, and you've got to see it through all the way. There's an old song that says, I started out and I'm going to finish this race that I have begun. When Paul was about to his end, he wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. There is a crown laid up for me. I just want you to know, You can get knocked down 20 times in the middle of a fight, but if you get up and go full rounds with your adversary, you can win that thing. It doesn't matter how you start, and it doesn't matter what happens along the way, but it matters how you finish. I want you to know it matters how you finish. He's still in Jeroboam's territory. There's still a golden calf in Bethel. And he's got the mandate, don't eat or drink while you're there. But he did. And he's in Bethel. And there's still a golden calf there. I want you to know he couldn't go and sit with that king and eat with him, because there's something more than just metaphorical when you're sitting at someone's table, when you're breaking bread with them. Paul teaches the New Testament church. He said, if there's a fornicator among you, somebody that's not living right, don't you fellowship that. Don't you sit down and eat bread with that. There's something about that. Don't be breaking bread with people that are at at odds with the kingdom of God and the mission of God in your life. You need to draw some fast and hard boundaries around yourself. And some would say, well, that sounds kind of harsh, and that sounds kind of judgmental or pejorative. But I'm telling you, we have a mission. We have a mandate. We have a purpose, and we have a calling, and we have a word from God, and we can't be compromised. We can't sit down and eat at the table of the world. We can't sit down and eat with those that are the adversaries of the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And there's quite a metaphor involved in this, but he had a word and he had a mission and he had clear instructions. No matter what, stick to the word. Stick to the mission. Stick to the instructions. Stay with it. When he hears from that old prophet from Bethel, he says, I can't go and eat with you either. I already turned down a king. I can't go and fellowship with you and eat with you. And he said, but I'm a prophet just like you. I'm like you. We're both holy men. And you know, you're in a lot greater danger from half-baked church folks than you are from worldly folks. You're a lot more likely to be convinced or convicted against the truth with somebody that's not a full-blown Egyptian, but somebody that's kind of quasi, maybe a little bit churchy, a little bit apostolic, a little bit in the... Anyway, this guy said, I'm like you. I'm a prophet. It's okay, because an angel appeared to me and said that you ought to come. Now, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter who brings you a different mission if you've got a mission from God. It doesn't matter who brings you another word if you've got a word from God. It doesn't matter if God has given you parameters for behavior, you don't listen to somebody. Now, there's all kinds of floating words, and you can have folks get all in, you can have folks with good intent and without any malice of heart to get in the fervor of the presence of God, and they things can occur to them, and they attribute them to God, and you can have somebody slide up to you and say, thus saith the Lord. And it's interesting, and I'll listen, but I don't listen much, because I've already got a word, and I've already got a mission, and I've already got a purpose, and I've already got a mandate, and I don't really need. And let me tell you, if you've got a word for me, you better be ready to give it to me in triplicate, and you better have a manifestation of God right there with you. I'm just telling you. I'm not real eager, nor am I very quick to entertain a floating prophet. Well, praise God. Thus saith the Lord, you need to stop going to school. Thus saith the Lord, you need to marry that man. Oh my. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a pile of dead bodies under rocks for that kind of behavior. You didn't have a lot of second chances there, because he said, if it's a false prophet, stone him. Well, what's a false prophet? He's not right. He gets it wrong. But this guy said, I'm a prophet just like you are. Come go to my house. And something happened to that prophet from Judah, and it touched him. The king couldn't entice him. The reward offered couldn't snare him. But He heard this, I'm a prophet like you. And I don't know, he had a story about angels in the thing. And you know, I hear Paul saying, listen to me, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach to you, let them be accursed. He said, I told you before, I'll tell you again. If we are an angel come to you, I'm telling you, Joseph Smith could have used that, because he had an angel by the name of Moroni that came to him and told him about some hidden golden tablets, and the Mormon church was conceived in a vision. Now, where that came from, if he just lied about about the whole thing. I don't know anything about that. But I'll tell you this. We are not impressed with angels that are outside the word of God. We are not impressed. I love the fact that they encamp round about the people of God. I love the fact that they're in this place tonight. But friend of mine, if you know anything about angels, you know that they walk according to the word of God. And when you're outside the word of God, you become an adversary. Well, praise God. And angels are dispassionate. They'll bless you and they'll kill you, depending on what God tells them to do. Nothing personal. They just don't get connected with you. But I don't know if the old prophet from Judah needed fellowship. I don't know if he was lonesome. I don't know if he was decompressing from that business with Jeroboam. I'm not sure if he just had a great need to belong, or he wanted to be accepted by his peers, the other prophets. But you really need to know, when you have a guy like Elijah, the sons of the prophet came to him and they were saying, your master's going to be taken up from you today. He said, I know it. And the man of God himself was saying, stay here. I'm going on down this way, but you stay here. And Elisha said, as you're alive and I'm alive and as the Lord lives, I'm going to be with you wherever you are. I'm going to see you when you leave. I'm going to be there with you. He wouldn't be turned aside. He had a mission and he had a word and he had a purpose and he had a desire for the things of God. And he wouldn't let anything or anybody turn him around. The old man said, I'm a prophet like you. And he had a story about angels. And that turned something inside of this prophet from Judah. There's a lot of traffic out there in the spirit. There's a lot of traffic. There are angels and there are demons. And I don't know. We are essentially spiritual in our nature. And so to some degree, some more than others, we pick up on spiritual traffic. And it's like right now there are AM waves all over this place. If you had a receiver, you could get a multitude of little scratchy, tinny AM stations. There's FM things coming through. You could catch that. There's all sorts of things out here in the air, and you can't feel them, and you can't sense them. And the only indication is if you have a receiver for those things. I want you to know there's a lot of traffic out there in the spirit. There's a lot of words out there. There's a lot of failed spirits out there. There's a lot of things that are going on in the occult and in the world that's full of darkness out there tonight. And I'm just telling you, there are voices that will come to you and words that will come to you, but you better have a death grip on the word and the mission and the purpose, and you better be ready to stand for that, because something's coming that wants to turn you aside from what God has called you to be and to do in the kingdom of God. Somebody always has a word, and somebody always has a purpose that's other than what God has spoken to you. Praise God. I think, Brother Jim, I know you're instrument rated, and I think Dustin is too now. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I remember when you first were getting into that, you had some conversations with me about it, because there are people that are flying around in little light aircraft today and tonight, and they're not instrument rated. They do good on a clear day when they can see the horizon and everything's okay, and they can keep it all nice and you don't have to worry too much. But if it sets in and it's foggy, or if it clouds up and they get socked in and some weird things happen, and there's a thing called vertigo where you lose your sense of direction. You can feel like you're moving to the side and down, and you can feel like you're straight, but you're moving to the side and down. And so when these guys that are instrument rated are flying, or you're flying on a big commercial jet or something like that, those guys, they don't much use the visual anymore. They are just locked in on their instrumentation, because that instrumentation doesn't lie. It tells you where you are. It shows you the attitude of your wings with the horizon, and it shows you everything that you need to know. And so if you get caught caught up in your feelings and you don't know how to read the instrument board, then you're a cooked goose and you're going down and you're going to have a problem. But if you're instrument rated, it doesn't matter. You don't follow the subjective and you don't follow the feelings and you don't follow what inclination you're getting in your head. And when spiritual vertigo comes to you and life is crushing in on every side and you're having a hard time seeing and different voices are saying different things, I want you to know it's a good day to have the manual. It's a good day to have the instrument panel right in front of you. And you stay locked in on what God has said. And you stay locked in on what God has spoken. And on your mission and on your purpose. And don't be turned aside. You'll feel like you're falling, but you're not. You're standing on the rock of the Word of God. You'll feel like you're losing control, but you're not. You just keep doing what God told you to do. And everything is going to be all right. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Is there anybody that can say, I did it God's way? I didn't know how I was going to make it through. In one of David's most intense proclamation psalms, and he talks about what he's going to do and how strong he is in the Lord and what he's done to his enemies and what he's going to do, he ends up that psalm by just kind of leaning up against the Word of God and saying, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. I just want you to know, we are instrument rated tonight. We don't have to worry about days when I can't see my way through. God can see above all of it. And they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I want you to know that God has everything you need. And you need to rest in that purpose. Do you have a purpose? Do you have a calling? Do you have a word tonight? Praise God. And some of these boys, I sat with five young men in a house in Eastlake one night. And we called it the boys' home. And there's only one of those young men in this house tonight. We were doing Bible study. And I told them, I said, in 10 years, in 12 years, I don't know how many of you are going to be living for God. The probabilities are not many of you, because a lot of people come, but very few stay. Many are called, but few are chosen. And that's not arbitrary, selective on the part of God. That has to do with your application of will. If you want to live for God, nothing can shake you. If you purpose in your heart to live for God, God will move heaven and earth for you, and you can do it. Somebody say amen. But there's only one of those five young men in the house of God tonight, and different things came along. And at some point, they made a decision to sit down and eat and drink at the table of something else, at the table of another voice, at the table of another influence. They went in and they sat down and they had fellowship with something that was at odds with their vision and their purpose and their mission and the Word of God in their life. And I'll just tell you, there is always a corrosive element in our world and something that seeks to supplant the kingdom of God in your life. And the place where it begins is there are just some things you can't sit down and have fellowship with. Now you might say, but he's my friend. And I want to tell you, anybody that's leading you away from God is not your friend. And you might say, but she's cute. I want you to know, cute's not going to help you when you've lost your way and you're not living for God. And you might say, but he's a handsome, strong young man. But I'll tell you, I'd rather have skinny and weak and a little bit ugly and godly. Now that was a minute when you ought to shout a little bit. Because skinny and godly, ugly and godly, is better than handsome and hellish. No, you didn't hear me, or you'd be on your feet right now. I know it's hard for you to stand up. I know y'all got those weird things on your feet. But you need to stand up and say, yeah, I'm gonna find me an ugly boy that loves God. I'm going to find me a skinny boy. All the muscle boys, they've gone off to the gym and fallen in love with the mirror. You better make sure you can't sit down and eat with that. You sit down and eat and drink with that, something's going to get on you. Something's going to get in you. You are familiar with all of the analogies and metaphors and festivals and activities in the scripture, all the way from the Passover to communion, where we eat, and it's aligned with and highly suggestive of the things of God. Jesus said, "My body is bread." He said, "If any man eat of my body, he'll never die." He said, "But if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, you won't even be saved." Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about that business where we say you eat, drink, and sleep something. You consume something. You bring it down into your body. You eat a piece of bread. It assimilates. It moves. It's by the end of it. It's down in your fingertips. It's in your toe tips. It's in every part of your body. And that's what he's saying. He said, this kingdom of God business, you've got to eat it at the Passover lamb. He said, I want you to eat it all, the head, the legs, the pertinence thereof. All the parts you like and all the parts you don't like, eat them all, because they're going to assimilate down into your system, and they're going to make you a creature like God, like the kingdom of God, like the word of God has proclaimed that you would be. And you eat this. You started young when you were in Sunday school. You started eating little meals at the table of the house of God. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're worshiping and we're praising, but we're also sitting down and we're breaking the bread of life, and we're having a meal here, and the word of God is coming down into our life system, and we're becoming like God. You've got to eat that. But I'll tell you, coming in and communing and fellowshipping and eating in the house of God is exactly what you need to do. But you don't need to be down in Samaria eating with Jeroboam, and you don't need to be down in Bethel eating with a false prophet, and you don't need to sit down and break bread with people that are not like the kingdom of God. Whether it's spirits, whether it's attitudes, whether it's lifestyle, you need to find some people that you can bring close and that you can fellowship. But you don't need to be taking on table experiences. You don't need to be sitting down and eating and drinking. There's some stuff in this world right now. There's some people that are all upset. Jamara, there's some people that are all upset about Black Lives Matter and all of this business, and you can't get on the right side of that. You can't get on the right side of that, because anything you do wrong now, in their estimation, they break out the race card. Boom, you're a racist. I disagree with your economy. You're a racist. I disagree with your work ethic. You're a racist. Everything is racially defined now. I'll just tell you, you don't want to sit down and eat with that. You don't want to sit down in social media and eat and visit with that. Because when you pull up that chair at a table in a real live situation at a house, that's one thing. When you sit down in your bedroom and there's people on that social media site, and you're sitting there and you're taking that in, you know what you're doing? You're eating bread with them. You're drinking with them. You're sharing in what they eat. You're sharing in the toxic things. You're sharing in the destructive things. And they're nothing like the kingdom of God. So all of the polarizing influences in our world, you can't be sitting down doing that. Now, you may think politics, you might think that's funny. And to some degree it is, and you may get a kick out of it. You might find it amusing to follow some of these things. But do not let those things get down inside of you. Do not assimilate them down into your life and become like that. Don't be made angry about political things. Don't be made angry about social things. You've got a mission. You've got a word. Don't let in. That old man almost had it made. He was at Bethel. He was just a few miles away from safety in Judah. He was so close, and he got distracted on his mission. We've got a mission here with the light of the world. We've got a mission here to seek and to save that which is lost. We've got a mission to be the representation of God on the earth, to be his ambassadors, to be his advocates. We've got a mission to promote this, to praise it to another generation, to make sure there's another generation coming up in our house and behind us that'll stand for the oneness of God and baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in tongues and the gospel according to the book of Acts and the things that the apostles taught. Those things, they don't happen everywhere, and they are losing ground some places, and it's an abomination for the church to on its way to heaven lose sight of their purpose and their mission and decide, I'm gonna move over here for a minute, and I'm gonna break bread with you and share time with you and eat with you and take in some things that are important to you. I just want you to know, we've got a city to win. We've got children to raise. We've got young people to shape. We've got a vision to walk in. We've got a mission and a calling and a purpose just as real as that old prophet had. And there's going to be something trying to call you over to the side, something that's trying to call you over to a place of compromise to distract you from what God has called you to be. Don't let anything get in the way. Don't forget the mission. Don't forget the word. Don't lose sight of the purpose of God in your life. I want you right now, I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to pray whatever is in your heart right now in regard to, mighty God, I tell you, you've told me, you've shown me, you've led me. I believe you. I want you to help me, God, not get distracted. There are so many places to get distracted, so many sidebars, so many places to lose your way, but we are too far along the way now. Paul writes to the church at Galatia. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. These things that we handle are not negotiable. These are not options. This is the word of God. It is unassailable. It is forever settled in the heaven. Praise God. A preacher came back to Birmingham some years ago. It is so very interesting to me. I did not know him, and I didn't know that I was coming to Birmingham. My pastor was standing and talking to him at the corner of the sanctuary building in Tioga, at that great campground there in Tioga, Louisiana. And my pastor called me over, and he introduced me to this man and told me his name, and we chatted for a moment, and he told me he pastors in Birmingham, Alabama. And I didn't think much of it, but you know how many encounters you have in your life like that and how few you remember? This one is etched into my memory. Now, I couldn't have told you why before. I didn't know I was coming here. I didn't know I was going to be a part of revival in this city. But that man lost his way. He lost his way in God. He lost his way in ministry. And he came back. He wound up working in some denominational church structure. And he came back to Birmingham and met with some people that he had pastored as an apostolic pastor. And he was apologizing to them for holiness and apologizing them for the truth. I want you to know, you think you're immovable. You might think that you would never turn your back on God. You might think that you are invulnerable in these areas. But I'm telling you, that man probably would have said the same thing. But somewhere along the line, he got a hold of a book, or he got a hold of a mentor, or he got a hold of some influence in his life. And they began to speak to him about things that were not like his purpose and his mission and his calling. And And he turned into something that nobody that had known him would ever have expected. He didn't just fall into immorality. He perverted the gospel. He is exactly what Paul is talking about right here. And he, by his own words and by his own actions, has walked into a place where the scripture renders him accursed. No matter what, stick to the word. No matter what, stick to the mission. No matter what, stick to the instructions. Paul writing to Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's a lot of traffic out there in the Spirit, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Let me tell you, they'll find you when you're hurt. They'll find you when you're lonely. They'll find you when you're vulnerable. They'll find you when you've been disappointed. They'll find you when you've had a setback, and they'll whisper in your ear, and they'll try to get you to sit down at the table. But as soon as they start whispering, you back up from that. You get some distance. You start to talk back. You just say, I am not sitting down with you and listening to this. I don't know where you came from, but you go back there right now. I have a word. I have a mission. I have a promise. I already have instructions from God. They speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. Got an idea who he's talking about there. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Paul says to Corinth, for there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There's always a place to get off. There's always a voice trying to sully the truth, or trying to negotiate it, or trying to bring you away from it. Come sit at my table. Come eat with me and drink with me, and let's talk about these things. Let me tell you, I've been in houses and in businesses and buildings all over this city. I've taught Bible studies in the park at UAB. I've taught Bible studies at the family court complex over on the other side of town. There's hardly any place. I've had a meeting with some gentlemen out behind a bar one night. I'm just telling you, there's hardly any place in this city that I haven't sat down. And if I came to your house to win you for God, for the kingdom of God, I would break bread with you there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you don't want to go there for fellowship. You don't want to go there to belong, to find your needs met. You don't want to go there to find friendship. The friendship, I'm a friend with you right now, Brother Terrell, but we weren't friends when we first started. God was trying to reach you, and I wanted to teach you the word of God. But if you had turned your back on the kingdom of God, it would be a different story altogether. Now I can come to your house. Now I can sit down at your table. Now you can come and eat at my house. But because we're sharing the same bread and we're sharing the same love for the same kingdom of God. To Colossae, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And I mentioned it this morning. I'm all about you going and getting a craft or a trade and learning and going to college if you need to. I would try to avoid the humanities if you could, because they're so full of nonsense now. And there's hardly anything of value there. But go get the education that you can. But go in with an attitude, and go in with, don't go in saying, I'm pliable, I'm moldable, I'm malleable, I'm in your hands, you can make of me. Don't sit down at that professor's table. Don't sit down and break bread with him and take what he has to say and let it undermine. I remember my very first history class at LSU, and I had never been a part of anything like that before. There were 350 kids in that big hall there, and he began an assault against Christianity, and that was back in the 70s. He began an assault against the word of God, and I just thought, okay, well, he's just just coming from a different place. And at that time, I had no fascination with Christianity or the Word of God. But I remember him vividly. He was on a campaign. He was serving up bread to undermine the faith of young people that were coming into that hall. I want you to know, you go, you get your education, but you walk in with the bark on. You walk in with your shield of faith. You walk in prayer, and you walk in with knowing this guy's out of the world, worldly. He's not my example about how to live. I gotta have the grade. I might need the information, but I'm not gonna follow him in spiritual advice. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify God. Praise God. Praise God. Lindsay and Sam, y'all could come. Praise God. I'm done. To Thessalonica, Paul says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. He's talking about the Antichrist. And we are in the Antichrist season. Power, signs, lying wonders. Like, I'm a prophet like you are. I had a visitation from an angel. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You got to love this thing. You got to know. Is there anybody here that you're just convinced that the Word of God is true, the inerrant Word of God, that what God has said is immovable, unchangeable? Is there anybody here that's rooted and standing on the Word of God? Well, praise God. That, I tell you, it's going to be easy to find the church in the last days. Because the rest of them are beating a path for the exit so fast. They're so worried about being environmentally friendly, and they're so worried about building an HR department in their church, and they're so worried about walking in equity and diversity and all the postmodern themes and all of that business. I want you to know the church is going to stick out like a sore thumb. We're going to be a pain in the neck to every entity like that, but we're going to be a light on a hill for every hungry heart, somebody that's really looking for God. Were you glad when you walked in and the fire was still burning and the lights were still on and the house was still the house of God? Praise God. And for this cause God shall send among them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure. They went and they ate at the wrong table, and they fellowship the wrong spirits. But no matter what, stick to the word, stick to the instructions, stick to the mission. There's always, everywhere, every day, there's always gonna be delusion, there's always gonna be deception. But stick to the word, stick to the mission, stick to the instructions. Robbie, I met your sister this afternoon. I gave her a church card. She said, my brother goes there. I said, who's your brother? She told me. And we chatted for a minute. But you and I, we're going to conspire to win her to God. We're going to conspire to get her in a Bible study. But if we're going to do that, we can't be turning aside and sitting down at this table and that table, and we've got to keep our eye on the mission and our eye on the prize and our eye on the instruction. We have to be adamant about the things of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I believe we can win her. I believe we can teach. I felt a bump in the Holy Ghost when I saw her. I chose her register on purpose. It was like, You think that's a little bit crazy? I'm telling you, I want God to lead me to the right one when I'm choosing my checkout line. And I'd rather have a human. I can't give a card to an automatic register. So prophecy's moving in us, and we're mandated, and we're directed by the Spirit of God. We're almost done. We're almost done. I don't know when this thing's gonna fall in on every side, and I don't know when it's all gonna happen, but we're one incident away from the sixth trump. I'm just telling you, that could come at any moment. China's breathing down over Taiwan. We have defense treaties with Taiwan. India and China are upset constantly with one another. That sixth Trump is going to be nuclear, and it could happen just any time. Sister Gina, it may happen before you get to do your Christmas play. I don't know. Some days she probably thinks, well, that wouldn't be a bad diversion. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how much time we have, but I know we've got a city to harvest, and we've got a barn. I'm glad for this barn, but what good is a barn if it's empty? We need to fill this barn up with the harvest of God. That balcony needs to be full. These empty seats need to be full. We need to have to get here early to find a place to park and a place to sit. I'm just telling you, that's the will of God. We have a word. We have a calling. We have a mission. We have a purpose. Don't get distracted. Don't go off on the side and start eating with things that are not like the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, if you want to just come and say, God, I'm yours, use me. God, I'm not turning to the left or the right. Come on down to this altar and say it to God tonight. Come on down and say, God, you can depend on me. I'm going to be here. Come on, come on. Be particular about what you eat. Be particular about who you eat with. Get you some fellowship circles. Fellowship with somebody that's going to strengthen you. Fellowship with somebody that believes the book. Praise God. Lay your hand on somebody. Pray for somebody. Take somebody by the hand. You might want to tell them, you can eat in my house any day. You can come and eat with me, because I'm going to be serving up the kingdom of God. I'm going to be serving up the word of God. I'm going to be serving up the plan of God. Inside there, let that Holy Ghost talk a little bit tonight. Let that Holy Ghost pour forth a little bit tonight. Talk in tongues in this altar. Let the Spirit of God flow forth out of your vessel. Yeah. you clap your hands, lift your voice. Praise God. Young men, every time you open this thing up, you're sitting down at somebody's table. You better be very discriminating when you do. In this case, discrimination is a great word. You need to know it, you need to love it, you need to walk it. But you need to discriminate about who you're going to sit down with and eat with on your device. And if you can't control that and you don't have a handle on that, and you find yourself sitting with things that are in opposition to the kingdom of God, they still make flip phones. I heard an interview with a man the other day, and he was one of the very first ones to pioneer podcast. And he's an older guy now. He carries a flip phone. He said, I don't like them following me everywhere I'm going. I don't like them knowing everything about me. I don't like them preparing by algorithms a steady diet of coercion in that, a diet intended to draw me and shape me and change me. And I'll just tell you, they still make flip phones. You're not shouting about that. You're not excited about that. But I'm telling you, if you can't control that thing, then you need to get it out of your life. You need to get something that... Because every time you open it, you're sitting down at somebody's table. And you can't eat and drink in that land, or you're not going to complete the mission of God. God bless you. I love you. I'm so excited about what God is doing. Take some flyers. Take some cards. You're going to see some people this week and Thanksgiving week. We're going to have a service here on Tuesday night. Come expecting a move of God and the wonderful presence of God. God bless you. Love and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight.